Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. People say you can't believe everything you read in the newspapers. But one article I saw last week was, I suspect, all too true. It said the organisation Aidshilfe Schweiz was about to launch a small-sized condom for 12-year-olds. The story was, this was to protect against AIDS and unwanted pregnancies. And these dangers exist, obviously. But I wonder just how great the danger is. And I also wonder whether this measure will not actually give rise to greater risks and make the situation worse. The next session of our Lent course is called The Child on the Cross, and it focuses on how we treat children in our world today. In the third world, disease and child labour place heavy burdens on children. But here in the West, it is the pressure to become consumers and early sexualization that is robbing them of their childhood. The Aidshilfe initiative is a response, perhaps an honest and well-meaning response, to this situation. But there are other responses, ones that many will not want to hear or will dismiss as being unrealistic in today's world. Things like the nature and value of waiting, about commitment and faithfulness, about what it means to be made in God's image. This is a modern application of the sort of thing Jesus was saying to the people in Luke chapter 13. He was telling them to repent, to give up their own agendas, and to change course. When we hear the word repent, it sounds rather doom-laden, making us think of gloomy-looking men carrying placards that read, "Repent, for the end of the world is nigh." Or we might imagine it is a call to give up individual sins like eating and drinking too much, and, yes, promiscuity. But that is not what Jesus was saying to the people listening to him in Jerusalem that day. And it is certainly not what the people of his time would have understood by the word repent. He is calling on his listeners to give up their agenda and to follow God's instead. When the people heard him mention Pontius Pilate, they would have known immediately he was referring to a guerrilla campaign against the Romans that was sort of rumbling along in the background all the time. But that is not the way to get things done, he is telling them. Force, terrorist activities, the first century equivalent of the suicide bomber. These sorts of things are not going to get you anywhere. That is what he is saying. In fact, if you carry on like this, the Romans will really turn nasty, and you will all perish. History is rewriting itself, he is saying. Previously it was Egypt, then Babylon, now it is Rome. The previous catastrophes occurred because Israel gave up its vocation to be God's people and instead tried to take its future into its own hands. You are doing the same thing now, says Jesus to the crowds. And the result will be that Jerusalem will be destroyed and the people scattered. Repent, says Jesus. Give up this disastrous course and return to God's way. In the Gospels, Jesus often says, repent and believe. Repent and believe. The two go together. Believe, that is, in God's way, in the values of his kingdom, and have faith that they will succeed in the end. We can do this because we are called to have faith, to believe that God is who he says he is. In Isaiah chapter 55, our first reading this morning, he says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good. What I give you, in other words, is the genuine article. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul writes, God is faithful. You can believe in him. He will not let you be tested beyond your strength, but will provide a way out so that you may be able to endure whatever comes your way. And because we have faith in him, we do not have to imagine we know best, that it is our plans and strategies and knowledge that will save us. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9. To the first century Jews, this meant, do not go down the path of revolt, but rely on God's strength, on his ways. Love your enemy. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. That is God's agenda. And yes, it will be hard and painful. You may be ridiculed, but those things are his way. And have faith. He will provide what you need to go through with it. That is what the bit about the fig tree is about and what Jesus says to the crowds. A fig tree's calling is obviously to have figs. The farmer digs the ground, waters it, provides manure to enable it to produce its fruit. So God does for us to enable us to be true to our calling. If, however, we stick to our ways, our agenda, then we are implying that actually we do not have faith in God. We do not trust his promises. An attitude that is called functional atheism. People who say they believe in God, but their actions, their plans are no different from their unbelieving neighbours. It's neatly expressed by the late Tom Lehrer, the comic songwriter, who back in the 1960s imagined the people of Israel saying, "The Lord's my shepherd," says the psalm, "but just in case, we'd better get a bomb." A nuclear bomb, that is. That is the way that leads to destruction and disaster, Jesus tells us. Repent and believe. Amen.